the bottom line?
Yep, it is.
Well, I'll look for somebody that knows what to do.
Thank you.
Brethren, we welcome you to our first session of our general conference. We're grateful that you're here. This is a session in the Red Handbook that calls to have a priesthood leadership meeting, but we felt in light of the changes by our dear prophet that we should bring all the Melchizedek priesthood together. So what you see is all the Melchizedek priesthood here. We're grateful that you're here. We're grateful you have faithfully left probably a very nice evening. And we realize the weather's nice and there's a lot of things to do outside, but we feel that you'll be blessed for being in attendance today. We'd like to thank Brother Devon Meekum. He has... This stake, the church probably couldn't afford to pay Brother Meekum for all the hours that he has put into the system, and we are so grateful to him and all those that have served on the technology committee and helping this conference be prepared. We'd like to recognize on the stand with us President Scott Bowie, President Keith White, Brother Bob Quigley, our stake executive secretary, and our dear patriarch, President Rick Jensen. We love him. We'll begin this session of our conference by singing hymn number 324, Rise Up, O Men of God. And the invocation will be offered by Brother Adam Toronto of the First Ward. And then following the invocation, Bishop Trent Murray of the Eighth Ward will give us a Preach My Gospel thought. Hymn 324.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to thee this evening grateful for the gospel. Father, we're grateful to be gathered together and grateful for the opportunity to fill thy spirit and to hear messages from thee. We pray, Father, that thou would bless those who have prepared messages this evening, that thy spirit might attend them. We pray also that thou would bless us in our various stewardships as we tend to parts of thy flock, that we might have thy spirit with us and that we might know and understand how thou would have us serve thee and serve our fellow men. We pray again, Father, that thy spirit might attend us this evening and help us to understand how we need to serve others who may not be with us. We pray for these things and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brethren. I am actually really excited to be here. I love this building. I love coming and being with all of you fine, amazing, amazing men, and I love to come and feel the Spirit. And I hope and pray that today we can feel the Spirit, that our testimonies will be strengthened. I've been asked to share, preach my gospel thought today on charity, page 118. It's a very great page. That one should be worn out for all of us, I think. I want to just share a brief experience that I've had. Recently, I'm working on receiving my young woman's award and with my young women in our ward. And one of the things that you have to do to get that is to spend at least 10 hours in one of the pieces of learning in the book. And I decided that I was going to call my mom every single day for a month. And that may sound like no big deal to a lot of you, but when I talk to my mom on the phone, it can go anywhere from 1 to 4 hours. And to be honest, she does say a few things maybe once or twice or three times, maybe 5 or 10, that I've already heard. But I decided I wanted to do this. My mom, as a little background to me, my family, they're not members of the church. And my mom has some things to say about the church periodically, and she likes to vent. But I'll tell you what, charity, it never faileth. And that was a moment for me where I got to call my mom. I called her every day, and we just talked until she finally had to go. And a lot of times I was at work, I was on my way somewhere else, but we talked and talked and talked. And at the end of that month, I've got to tell you, that I love my mom so much more than I did. And that seems crazy because, of course, I loved my mom. But I think that things that are maybe hard for us or people that are maybe a little bit difficult for us to love and to want to be around all the time, if we can harness the powers of heaven, step aside and get out of ourselves somewhat and just do it, get out there and serve and love, we will be blessed. And that experience for me was amazing. Being a bishop, I'm fairly new since August. It has been absolutely magnificent to feel the love that our Father in Heaven has for everyone in the Olympus 8th Ward. It's incredible. Whether people are coming into the bishop's office regrettably or with excitement, either way, you can just feel the Savior reaching out and wanting to just give everyone that walks in there a big hug. And I would hope that everyone in this room right now, that you can feel how important you are. I hope that you can stand tall, even if you feel small, and that you can understand of your incredible value and importance. Whether you're young or old, that you can know that you have so much to offer. And that without everyone that sits in this room and everyone that comes to church, when you're not here, you're missed. And you're not only maybe missing opportunities to learn and grow testimony, but also to share and to build and lift other people. And through charity and through love, we can get over being offended. We can get over anything that comes our way. And it's really easy to practice charity. You can do it in your car when people cut you off. You can do it in the grocery store line when you can kind of let someone slip in front of you. My favorite place, and I talk about it all the time, but is in the elevator. When you're packed in there and it's hot, I love just looking at the person next to me and saying, "Hey, how's it going today? It's a great day." And they look at you really funny, like, "You can't talk to me. This is not socially proper." But you do it, and you can feel the love, and you get to know new people. So I pray that we can all step out of our comfort zone, go meet somebody. Go meet somebody and talk to somebody and smile at somebody and lift and make their day. And it can be done every day. Practice it and you'll feel the blessings. I know Jesus Christ is my brother and your brother. And I know he loves us. And I know he never, ever, ever gives up on any of us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. We'll now hear from President Keith White. We're so grateful that he has accepted this calling to serve in the state presidency with us. I can tell you, brothers, that he has hit the ground running. We've extended a lot of calls the last couple weeks, and he has offered choice counsel to these new presidencies, these new counselors and Elders Quorum presidents. And it's been an honor to be able to witness President White coming into this presidency. Following President White, I'll be the next speaker. Then we'll have a rest hymn, number 97, Lead Kindly Light. Following the rest hymn, we'll be honored to hear from President Bowie. And then as part of his presentation, we're going to open the mic up for questions and answers. We'll do a little Q&A, and we'd like you to be thinking about questions that you may have about the new ministry program. If you're stumped for what to do, if you just don't know how to get started, please be thinking of questions that you can ask. And don't be bashful. There's probably, maybe the question that you have is very similar to a question that anybody else here in the congregation would have. And so we ask you and we encourage you to speak up, because we want to make sure that we all know what our duty should be and what our duty is with the ministering program. Following President Bowie, we'll sing hymn number 246, Onward Christian Soldiers, and the benediction will be offered by Brother Edwin Overfleet of the Second Ward. Before President White speaks, we have a video that we'd like to show on ministering. So, and Brother Meekum has that queued up.
We constantly seek direction from the Lord on how we can help our members keep the commandments of God, especially those two great commandments, to love God and our neighbors. We will implement a newer, holier approach to caring and ministering to others. The First Presidency and the 12 are united. Gratefully and prayerfully, we open this new chapter in the history of the church.
What we intend is for the Lord's church to be more effective in carrying out its divinely assigned mission to bring to pass the eternal life of God's children.
We have learned that the Lord intends for there to be greater, more focused caring for others in His church by His chosen shepherds.
As the work of quorums and auxiliaries matures institutionally, it follows that we should mature personally as well, individually, rising above any mechanical function without feeling routine, to the heartfelt discipleship articulated by the Savior at the conclusion of His earthly ministry. Love one another as I have loved you.
Sometimes we think we have to do something grand and heroic to count as serving our neighbors, yet simple acts of service can have profound effects on others as well as on ourselves. What did the Savior do? He also smiled at, talked with, walked with, listened to, made time for, encouraged, taught, fed, and forgave. He served family and friends, neighbors and strangers alike, and he invited acquaintances and loved ones to enjoy the rich blessings of his gospel. Those simple acts of service and love provide a template for our ministering today. Ministering looks like going for a walk, getting together for a game night, offering service, or even serving together. It looks like delivering a birthday card and cheering at a soccer game.
In addition to whatever schedule you establish for actual visits, that calendar can be supplemented with telephone calls, written notes, texts, emails, video chats, conversations at church meetings, shared service projects, social activities, a host of possibilities in the world of social media.
It looks like sharing a scripture or quote from a conference talk that would be meaningful to that individual. It looks like discussing a gospel question and sharing testimony to bring clarity and peace. It looks like becoming part of someone's life and caring about him or her.
I warn you, a new name, new flexibility, fewer reports will not make 1 ounce of difference in our service unless we see this as an invitation to care for one another in a bold, new, holier way.
Another blessing of these inspired announcements is the opportunity for young women ages 14 to 18 to participate in ministering as companions to Relief Society sisters, just as young men their age serve as ministering companions to Melchizedek priesthood brethren.
May we labor side by side with the Lord of the vineyard, giving the God and Father of us all a helping hand with his staggering task of answering prayers, providing comfort, drying tears, and strengthening feeble knees. If we'll do that, we will be more like the true disciples of Christ we are meant to be.
Our message to the world is simple and sincere. We invite all of God's children on both sides of the veil to come unto their Savior, receive the blessings of the Holy Temple, have enduring joy, and qualify for eternal life.
Brethren, it's humbling for me to be here today. This is I'm grateful for the sustaining and supporting influence that you all have. We were sitting in the state president's office just before we started, and I was alerted to the fact that this is the 17th state conference for our state presidency, and it's my first. But they have treated me with such kindness, and they've mentored me, they've loved me, and I just like to stand as a witness before you that I have seen firsthand the workings of our state presidency, and I bear you solemn witness that they are men of inspiration, men of revelation, that they love you, that they have no desire to do anything that's not what our Father in heaven would have us do. As I sought what the Lord would have me speak to you about this afternoon, came to my mind that it was important that we understand exactly what it is that we hold as possessors of the Melchizedek priesthood, that the Lord wanted me to talk about the doctrine of the Melchizedek priesthood. The changes that we're seeing and that we're a part of, it's tempting for us to see this just as a change in program or a change in policy, but there is scriptural and revelatory basis to the changes that we're seeing. And I encourage you to read the publications that are put out on ministering and to review the priesthood sections of the Doctrine and Covenants, which are sections 84 and 107. You know, Melchizedek was a great high priest. And when Joseph Smith translated the book, the Bible, or when he revised the Bible, when he got to Genesis chapter 14, he added 10 verses. And I'd like to read these to you because they apply to us today and to the day that we live. Now, Melchizedek was a man of faith, and thus having been approved of God, he was ordained an high priest after the order of the covenant which God made with Enoch. it being after the covenant of the order of the Son of God, which order came not by man, nor the will of man, neither by father nor mother, neither by beginning of days nor end of years, but of God. And it was delivered unto man by the calling of his own voice, according to his own will, unto as many as believed on his name. Here's an important verse. For God, having sworn unto Enoch and unto his seed with an oath by himself, that everyone being ordained after this order and calling should have power by faith to break mountains, to divide the seas, to dry up waters, to turn them out of their course, to put at defiance the armies of nations, to divide the earth, to break every band, to stand in the presence of God, to do all things according to his will, according to his command, subdue principalities and powers, and this by the will of the Son of God, which was from before the foundation of the world. This is the priesthood which we hold. It's dramatic, it's powerful, and to me, it's very sobering. It raises in my mind several questions. First, what is the source of this great power? Now, as great as Melchizedek was and as great as Enoch was, the power didn't reside in them. It was the power of the Lord God Almighty expressed through them that was able to do these great works. Second question, does the covenant made to Enoch and Melchizedek apply to us in our day? Absolutely, yes. Our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And his priesthood is without beginning of days or end of years. What is to be accomplished using this power? And I would submit to you that we are to accomplish exactly what Melchizedek and Enoch accomplished in their day. These were great high priests who led a whole host of Melchizedek priesthood holders to bring about a Zion people. They brought a Zion society that was able to stand in the presence of God, and that is exactly the labor that we have today. We live in a day where prophets from the beginning of time have looked upon us and they've spoken of us. We are literally seeing the fulfillment of prophecy happening before our very eyes. Just as one example, again from Enoch, in the book of Moses, chapter 7, we read the following, that this is the word of the Lord to Enoch. As I live, even so will I come in the last days, in the days of wickedness and vengeance. And the righteousness will I send down out of heaven, the restoration of the gospel. And truth will I send out of the earth, the Book of Mormon, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, and gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place where I shall prepare, an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion. Well, the unification of the priesthood quorums and the ministering program is more than a programmatic change. It represents a more mature and pure organization of the priesthood, and it is done with the intent that we hasten our labor to build Zion, a people ready to receive the Lord at his coming. It is a fulfillment of prophecy. In the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord said the following, Behold, and lo, I will take care of your flocks, take care of your people, and will raise up elders and send unto them. Behold, I will hasten my work in its time. We're seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy today. Well, we're plain and simple men. We're weak. But we have an important role to play in building a Zion, and this is required of us. President Nelson, in his introductory remarks, read from the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'd like to read this to you as well. The weak things of the world, that's us, shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world. So all of us, regardless of our calling, have an important role to play. It's every man. Leaders are no more important than those that follow. High priests are no more significant than elders. And again in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, therefore let every man stand in his own office and labor in his own calling, and let not the head say unto the feet, it hath no need of the feet. For without the feet, how shall the body be able to stand? Also the body hath need of every member, that all may be edified together, that the system may be kept perfect. Well, the Aaronic priesthood is included in this as well. The Aaronic priesthood is like an apprenticeship, where they're trained and they're schooled and they're taught so that they may also receive this high priesthood. Again, in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, we're told specifically how to engage these brethren. And if any man among you be strong in the Spirit, let him take with him him that is weak, that he may be edified in all meekness, that he may become strong also. Therefore, take with you those who are ordained unto the lesser priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, and send them before you to make appointments, to prepare the way, to fill appointments that you yourselves are not able to fill. Behold, this is the way that mine apostles in ancient days built up my church unto me. President Bowie asked that I give a specific charge to the elders, quorum presidents, and to the bishops to go to the young men, to go to the teachers' quorum and the priests' quorum, and to teach them these principles, to open their minds to the fact that they need to step up to a higher level of service, and to be actively engaged with their Melchizedek priesthood brethren in doing this work. Now let's take a step back again. Let's go back to that astounding scripture that we read of the power of the Melchizedek priesthood, the covenant made with Enoch. We tend to think of things literally. We tend to think of things of this world from a worldly perspective, but there is much wisdom, I think, in looking much broadly. So I'd like to go through that series of promises again and ask you to consider the following. Melchizedek priest would have power by faith to break mountains. Are there any obstacles to be overcome in people's lives? Are there any of our brothers and sisters who are suffering because of oppressions? To dry up waters, are there any tears that need to be wiped and cleaned dry? To turn the waters out of their course, are there any bad habits or addictions or things that are driving people in a certain direction that need to be remedied and changed? To put at defiance the armies of nations, we live in a very contentious world. Can't we bring peace? Can't we bring a peace to our Zion people? To divide the earth, the Lord says in the last days that there will be a great division among the people, where the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous. To break every band, we know that sin oppresses us and binds us. Breaking and helping us to overcome sin is certainly a role. To stand in the presence of God, there is no better place to know and understand that than to go to the temple and to do the work of the temple, to do family history and do that work. We are literally causing that to occur. And lastly, to subdue principalities and powers. We will overcome the power of Satan in this world by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'd like to leave you with a charge. Expand your vision to a new level of thought, faith, and action. Commit to study, learn, and pray what your duty is under this new organization. Commit to a higher level of service and faith, and seek the influence of the Holy Ghost and act upon those impressions. I bear my solemn witness to you that even though that we're weak, even though that we're relatively few, that we are powerful. If we will do what the Lord asks us to do, because we will be using his power to bring about these great blessings in the lives of our people. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Going through the process of preparing a talk for state conference is an interesting thing because it takes a lot of faith and it takes a lot of relying on the Lord. And this state conference, as we were going through the programs, I had three talks to prepare. And so I have this talk that I wrote back in the fall. I thought I was going to give it in the fall state conference, but the Lord had a different plan for me. And so I shelved this talk for the general session talk, and so it was
pretty much ready to go, and the talk that I'm going to give tonight at the adult session was pretty much ready to go, and I was really worried and thinking and praying and asking for revelation on this talk. I got out of my car in my garage a week ago yesterday, and the Spirit said, don't prepare a thing. And the Spirit said, act on faith. And when you get to state conference, when you get to this session, you'll know what to say. And so, brother, and I can testify to you that when I sat down in the chair, I didn't have one thing prepared, but I've been praying. And I did as Elder Allen, the example that Elder Allen shared with us. He was our visiting authority a few years ago. And he likes to come to a state conference, and all he brings is a set of scriptures and a notepad. And then Elder Allen has made it a habit of his service as a general authority of coming and sitting on the stand 10 minutes before the meeting starts and then watching people walk in and asking Heavenly Father, what does that brother need? What does that sister need? What does that person need? What can I share with them? What can I teach them? And he relies solely on the Spirit. And so I've done that tonight. And so the thoughts that I'm going to share with you right now have just come within the last few minutes. When I watched the video, these videos, and by the way, if you have not been to ministry.lds.org, you need to go there. If you are wondering what to do next, how do I do this ministry program, what's in it for me, or how do I share it with my families, that's the place. Brethren, the day of giving out a 200-page manual to the church is over. The Come Follow Me curriculum is so wonderful because what the church is doing now is they're giving us outlines. And here's some general thoughts, and here's an outline of what you can share in your lessons. And then it's up to the instructor to get on his knees or on her knees and ask Heavenly Father, okay, Father, I have this class. I'm teaching the 16-year-olds, or I'm teaching gospel doctrine this week or in 2 weeks from now, and I need to prepare on this topic of the restoration or this topic of repentance or this topic of the sacrament or whatever it is. And you have that general outline, and then it's up to you to receive the revelation. And it's based on line upon line, precept on precept, all the things that we've learned as Aaronic priesthood holders and all the things that we've had experiences in our Melchizedek priesthood service and all the callings that we've had. And President Paul Davis gave us a wonderful idea. He told us that every calling he's ever had has helped to build on the next one he's going to receive. All the things that he learned in these different callings have helped him in the next calling that he's had. And so I think that's what the Lord has given us, brethren, is there are no more 200-page manuals. It's a website. We have great videos and material. And then you know what? It's up to us to ask the Lord, what can I do for my families? By the way, brethren, April is not a month off. Okay, everybody got released from their home teaching duties, but April is not a month off. I hope everybody has taken an opportunity. It's actually a free-for-all month. We don't have any assigned ministering families. We don't have any home teaching families. And so I hope everybody has taken an opportunity to go serve somebody. It's a free-for-all month. It's a great opportunity to go out and just minister, just do something for somebody down the street and around the corner. I was ministered to in the celestial room of the Salt Lake Temple a couple nights ago. My good friend, Brother Dubois, was working the veil, and I was blessed to be there with him, and he helped me through. And he could have ended his shift. He could have gone and taken care of the next thing he did, but no, he saw me out. Brother Dubois came over and gave me a big hug. My wife, he ministered to us in the celestial room. That's a perfect example, brother, of what any one of us can do. But what we need to do in order to make this program effective is we need to know what to do. We need to be prepared. And so we want to invite every one of you to go to ministry.lds.org and watch the videos. There's about an hour's worth of videos on there. There are several that are just wonderful. If you're wondering, what am I going to do, because I've been called as the first counselor in an elders' quorum presidency, what am I going to do with these interviews? I'm supposed to do them quarterly. What do I do? How do I ask? What do I ask? And how do they take place? Well, there's about a 19-minute video on there of how to do these great ideas for these videos. Brethren, all of us are going to be given ministry assignments. We're going to have a couple families. We might have an individual. We might have a block. We might have, who knows what how this is all going to pan out. But we're going to have ministry assignments. And so the best thing you can do is be prepared and know how to do it. And so, brethren, each of us are going to need to report our stewardship to a member of the Elders' Quorum Presidency, and the sisters will be reporting their stewardship to a member of the Relief Society Presidency quarterly. So, be available. Be cooperative. When the Elders' Quorum Presidency calls you and say, hey, brother, tell me about your family. How were you able to be of service? How were you inspired to be of service? Please make yourself available. Now, ideally, these interviews quarterly will take place face-to-face. But that's not going to happen every time. You might get a text from your Elders' Quorum Presidency first counselor or second counselor and say, hey, how did it go this month? Tell me about this quarter. Tell me, how are you inspired to minister to this family? And shoot them back a quick text. It might be an email. It might be FaceTime. It might be on Skype. But please, brethren, as elders of the priesthood, make yourself available to the Elders' Quorum Presidency. This is going to be quite a task. You can just imagine to get through the entire roster of your Elders' Quorum quarterly and to give a report is going to be quite a task. Now, the bishops, this is how the bishops are going to know how things are going with their people. You're going to see this in one of the videos. The bishops need to know, and this is how it's going to come about. And so we ask you to please, please be available. Now, grateful President White talked about the Aaronic priesthood, because, brethren, I think that that's one of the most important and one of the best training for a mission is to go out and do some ministering. Certainly, home teaching was a great thing. You think about that as home teachers. What did you do? And let's compare that with a mission. As a home teacher, you got together as a companionship. Before you left, you knelt. You asked for the Lord to be with you, to go before you. Same thing a missionary companionship do before they leave their apartment. Is they're on their knees and they're asking Heavenly Father to go before us and help us and bless us with inspiration. So you do that very same thing as a ministering companionship. You pray, you think about it during the month. What does our family need? Missionaries now with Preach My Gospel, they're not doing, when I was in the 70s, when I served my mission, we had 1 through 7, and we just pounded through them. We did discussion number 1, then discussion number 2, then number 3, then number 4, Mr. and Mrs. Brown. And it's not like that anymore with the missionaries. And it's not like that way with the ministering companionships as well. And so if you have a young man, a teacher or a priest, that is going to be your ministering companion, please, please, please be faithful. Those young men need this experience. They need this example, because the same thing is going to happen to them when they're out on their mission. The other thing that I'm impressed to say is in your quorum meetings, this is going to be we're calling them super quorums. Combining the elders and the high priests. These are super elders' quorums. And so when you're in there, brethren, please teach pure doctrine. There's no reason to get out into the weeds. When I'm playing golf, if I hit it down the middle of the fairway, in my second shot, it doesn't take near as much swing, it doesn't take near as much power or effort to make it to the green if I'm in the middle of the fairway. But if I'm out in the second cut or out in the rough, I've got to really take a hack at it. And it's just tough to get your ball out of there. And so, brethren, I'll just say to you, in your core meetings, teach pure doctrine. Make sure it's pure and simple and to the point. You can follow the inspiration. You'll have your outline, the Come Follow Me curriculum. We have our councils. And they're such wonderful opportunities to talk about the needs of the members of our quorum. But back to the ministry, brethren. Just know that there is nothing below us. We can do anything. Many years ago, we had a couple in our ward, Bob and Marion Martin. They were in charge of all the scheduling for the Salt Lake Temple. And this is right when the brethren were ending the janitorial service, the professional janitorial service for the temple. And the church was going to beta test this and having members come into the temple and do the cleaning. And Brother Martin came to me and says, Bishop, how would you like to get 24 people together and spend an evening cleaning the Salt Lake Temple? And I said, consider it done. We're there. And these couple weeks leading up to it, I kept thinking about myself up on a ladder. I was going to shine the chandeliers in the celestial room. I could just picture myself, you know, taking down the veil of the temple and you know, carefully taking it down to the laundry and doing all these wonderful things. And I just had these whole vision of myself in these different cleaning responsibilities. And we got down to the temple and met in the cafeteria, and the sister started explaining all the duties and so forth. And she started signing people to go out here and out there and everything. And what came down to me is she said, and brother, we'd like you to stay right here and clean the cafeteria. And I said, I felt like saying, no, not the I'm the bishop, not the cafeteria. I should be up in the celestial room. And but you know what? That wasn't where my assignment was. My assignment was to clean the cafeteria. And so I started pulling the chairs away and the tables, and man, I was finding smashed crackers and dirty forks and napkins, and it was just awful. And I just thought, no, I shouldn't be here. I should be up in the celestial room, or at least the telestial room. In my role as a bishop, that's where I should be. But no, the Lord had me in the cafeteria. And so I really had a chip on my shoulder about this, and it was an awful cleaning assignment. Until I thought about the picture that's hanging in the priesthood room over in the West Building, and it's a picture of the Savior washing the feet of his apostles. And I thought to myself, shame on you, Rich. The Savior of the world was willing to wash the feet of his apostles, a lowly task. Why shouldn't you be willing to clean the cafeteria of the Salt Lake Temple? And as soon as I thought about the Savior and what he was willing to do to minister to his apostles, my complete outlook, my complete attitude changed. And I want to make sure that cafeteria was the cleanest it's ever been. I was ashamed of myself for what I thought. But after I thought about the Savior, and I knew how important my role was cleaning the cafeteria of the Salt Lake Temple, I was honored to be in the house of the Lord cleaning. It didn't matter where it was. I was cleaning the house of the Lord. And so, brethren, don't think any person, any task, any ministry and duty that you see is below you. Jump on it. Do as the Savior would do. He loves us. He has trusted us. He has taught us to be good home teachers. He's taught us in this Mosaic law. But now it's a new holier time, as President Nelson said. The Lord trusted 18-year-olds to go on a mission. And we all thought, wow, how's that going to happen? How's that going to work? How's that, you know, is that really going to be possible? And the 18-year-olds out there are doing a wonderful job teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now, brethren, the Lord has trusted us in a newer, holier way to minister instead of just to be home teachers. So we leave our prayer and our blessing with you. We love you. We love every priesthood holder in this stake. We have trust in you because the Lord has trust in you. The Lord has great trust in our Relief Society sisters. And it's going to be a wonderful experience to have these Maya maids out doing the same type of ministering. It's going to certainly up the standard of what we're seeing out there. So, brother, I bury my testimony that this ministering program is inspired of God. I have a testimony of it. I've seen the merging of these elders' quorum presidencies. It's been great to have a front row seat to it. The Lord has truly been behind the work in the Salt Lake Olympus Stake as this work is moving forward. And I bury my witness of that. Express our love and appreciation to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can't think of a more appropriate hymn to sing at this time. Love that. Felt the Spirit during that hymn. Brethren, it's good to be with you today. I am filled with great hope, even optimism and good cheer over what we've heard today. And at the very end of my comments, we want to do a Q&A with all of you and get your feelings and testimony and faith about this ministering program, how you felt when you heard it, when it left the prophet's lips. Share your faith and questions with us in a Q&A after I'm done. I very much was blessed by President Keith's wife, what he had to say to us. The covenant made with Abraham and Enoch is in full force right now. And the Lord said, he did say he would hasten his work in his time, and that prophecy is fulfilled once again right here in front of us. Isn't it remarkable that we sit there in the latter days, the days that all the prophets of God in the past saw our day? I said that the restoration was prophesied by all of the holy prophets since the world began. So all these ancient prophets saw our day and prophesied of it. And I believe it cheered them up because they lived in dismal times. And here we sit right in the middle of it. Temples dotting the land, millions of Melchizedek priesthood holders, the covenant restored. Sometimes we forget our place in history. He went on to tell us that every man might speak in the name of God. I love that scripture. in the scripture that he shared with us, take him that is weak, that he might be strong also. It's a great reminder to the young men's presidents and to the elders' quorum presidents that it is important that we train up this next generation, the rising generation, to be great ministers. He challenged us to expand your vision, to commence to a higher level of service and faith. I endorse that comment. Let us do this, brethren. And share your vision with those who aren't here. We should have probably 800 brethren here. And I want you to take good notes and share, you elders, quorum presidents, and leaders, bishops, share what you've learned here. We have this recorded also. To expand our vision and commence to a higher level of service and faith. President Bailey, thank you for your inspired comments. We don't have long 200-page manuals anymore. You know what led the way with all this is Preach My Gospel. When I meet with missionaries, I always have them read page 29 of Preach My Gospel at the very bottom. It's a comment by the First Presidency, and it says that you will not be asked to memorize any discussions, but you need to know the material and share the material in a way that the Spirit will help you know what to say. And I said, that revolutionized missionary work because they were taught to speak from the heart and by the power of the Spirit. So Preach My Gospel in 2005 led the way to Come Follow Me and the way that we minister and teach. We have no manual. You have good videos. You have 15 pages from the First Presidency. But brethren, get on your knees. We'll all need to get on our knees and figure out how to do this. We're not supposed to memorize things. We're supposed to speak by the power and act in accordance with the Spirit. I endorse President Bailey's call to go to ministering.org. Let every man learn his duty. In section 107, the last verse, let every man learn his duty and act in the office in which he is appointed in all diligence. Be a messenger from God. Pray in your heart that when you minister to someone, that you will say something to them that came from God. Be the messenger of God to that person. Teach pure doctrine as President Bailey asked us to. Remember the Savior washing the feet of the apostles as you are asked maybe to clean a toilet in someone's house to a dear sister who can't do it. Or you may be asked to clean her dishes or vacuum. Do whatever was required. Follow the example of the Son of God to wash others' feet, so to speak. We do have trust and confidence in you. Let me share with you today the commission that was given by a prophet of God to stake presidents and to bishops in this last conference. I'll never forget, I was a little bit stunned when the prophet said these words, and this is a direct quote from last conference about priesthood blessings. Quote, now may I voice a concern, the prophet tells us. It is this. That too many of our brothers and sisters do not fully understand the concept of priesthood power and authority. They act as though they would rather satisfy their own selfish desires and appetites than use the power of God to bless his children. Continuing on, I fear that too many of our brothers and sisters do not grasp the privileges that could be theirs. Some of our brethren, for example, act like they do not understand what the priesthood is and what it enables them to do. Let me give you some specific examples. Not long ago, I attended a sacrament meeting in which a new baby was about to be given a name and a father's blessing. The young father held his precious infant in his arms, gave her a name, and then offered a beautiful prayer. But he did not give that child a blessing. That sweet baby girl got a name, but no blessing. That dear elder did not know the difference between a prayer and priesthood blessing given with priesthood authority. With his power, he could have blessed his infant, and he did not. And I thought, and this is the prophet speaking again, I thought, what a missed opportunity. Let me cite some other examples. And then he went on about this, again quoting President Nelson. We know of brethren who set sisters apart as primary young women or Relief Society leaders and teachers, but fail to bless them with the power to fulfill their callings. They only give admonitions and instructions. We see a worthy father fail to give his wife and children priesthood blessings when that is exactly what they need. Priesthood power has been restored to the earth, yet far too many brothers and sisters go through their terrible trials in life without ever receiving a true priesthood blessing. What a tragedy, he states. That's a tragedy that we can eliminate Brethren, we hold the holy priesthood of God. We have his authority to bless his people. Just think of the remarkable assurance that the Lord gave us when he said, "Whomsoever you bless, I will bless." It is our privilege to act in the name of Jesus Christ to bless God's children according to what the Holy Ghost says and to his will for them. Stake presidents and bishops, please ensure that every member of the quorums within your stewardship understands how to give a priesthood blessing, including the personal worthiness and spiritual preparation required to fully call upon the powers of God. Now, you bishops, please take note of these things and teach your flock how to give priesthood blessings, not priesthood prayers, but priesthood blessings. Let me share with you a couple of personal thoughts. End of quote from the prophet. In my life, I have been blessed by priesthood power. Last August, I came down with a rare, severe summer cold combined with a sinus infection. I felt awful, and it went on for many days. I felt the desire to invite my son, and the Spirit whispered to me, have Brent Bowen, many of you know Bishop Bowen, my neighbor of mine two doors up, to come over and give me a blessing. And they gave me a remarkable blessing. Here is some of what was said in that blessing. It went far beyond my current sickness. I was told that I would live a long and productive life, that I came into this life for the purpose of blessing my family and others, and that purpose is far from over. Then this prophetic part of the blessing came. He said, you have heavy lifting to come, that my spiritual muscles will be stretched and strained in ways that they had never been before in the near future. Shortly after that blessing, it came completely true. I started seeing things in the stake president's office that I hadn't seen before. And I did get some spiritual muscles stretched. It was prophetic, and it was a blessing. It wasn't a prayer. And I'll be forever grateful to my son Chase and Bishop Brent Bowen. On another occasion, my sons Chase and Adam told me in a blessing that the Olympus Stake was being protected and blessed by the stake initiatives. I was grateful to hear that, and I believe that. My father gave a blessing to my mother once while in a health crisis. New doctors will find this interesting. She has a volcanic blood pressure, back in the days when the medications weren't that good in controlling it. She one evening had lost mobility in her left side and started to lose her speech, clear signs of a stroke. Within a few minutes, her mobility and speech returned. I gave her a blessing, my father. I was a young 18-year-old elder, just barely received the priesthood. My father gave the blessing, and in that blessing promised her that she would recover. Within a few minutes, her mobility and her speech returned. I'll never forget that. My father was a powerful priesthood holder with strong faith in Christ and his amazing priesthood. And many times I received blessings from under the hand of my father. Now, by the time the ambulance arrived, I mentioned this story a few state conferences ago, my mother refused care. She wouldn't let him take him, and she recovered, and never recurred again in her life. So here are some things to keep in mind when giving a priest a blessing. If you have a pen, please write these down. The first thing, be worthy of your temple recommend. If you're not worthy, repent and become worthy. Virtue once lost can be restored. Sins that stain our soul can be forgiven. And we can be found clean in the sight of God. So be worthy of your temple recommend. No one's asking you to be perfect, but we are asking you to be worthy of your recommend. Number two, wait for it. It's okay to pause during a blessing. In fact, tell people you're giving a blessing to that there might be a few pauses, then not to worry about it. Patriarch, when he gave me my blessing, I remember specifically he says, you know, there might be some pauses in this blessing. There's no cause to worry. I'm just gathering my thoughts and waiting for the Spirit. So wait for it. Don't fake it. Don't make things up in a priesthood blessing. wait for the Spirit to place thoughts in your heart and mind. Blessings to be pronounced upon the head of the soul you are blessing, not prayers. You cannot rush the Spirit of God. You cannot rush the things of God. Tell the people you're a blessing, like as I just mentioned, there might be pauses. Please realize that you are the messenger of God when you lay your hands upon that soul's head. Bless the people. Pronounce blessings. When you're setting apart someone, bishops, bless them with the power to fulfill their call. Bless them with inspiration from God. Bless the brethren with authority. It has been my great blessing to bestow priesthood keys upon two elders quorum presidents in our stake, the first and the fourth ward, and gave them a priesthood blessing, giving them power and authority to carry forward their calling. 3, offer blessings to those around you, especially when the Spirit prompts. Years ago, it was taught that you must wait for blessings to be requested. I've never believed that. Sitting in the bishop's office many times, in the stake president's office, I have feelings all the time to offer a blessing. As fathers in your home, offer priesthood blessings. There may be the adversary is trying to stop a loved one from asking for a blessing, thinking that it would be an imposition to ask you to give a priesthood blessing. The adversary is in the mix here, trying to destroy faith. So offer priesthood blessings. As President Nelson taught us, too often our family members go unblessed, and I think many times they're too concerned with putting us out to ask us to give a blessing. Teach in your family home evenings to your grandchildren and your children to offer. You're always available for priesthood blessings. Offer blessings to those in distress, to the most important people in your life, and that's your family. As a priesthood leader, as I mentioned, offer blessings to your flocks. Teach your ministering brothers to offer blessings to those. Maybe part of our ministering call would be to offer more priesthood blessings. What better way to minister to others than to offer priesthood blessings to those people? Here's some thoughts. If you sense an evil spirit tormenting a soul, wait for it. The Spirit prompts, cast it out. You have that authority. I would caution you to be bold but not overbearing when you give a blessing, to follow Alma's advice, to be bold in your blessings as the Spirit prompts. I see a resurgence of priesthood power within our stake, both in the ministering effort and in the offering and giving of more priesthood blessings. I am delighted to report to you that the average age that patriarchal blessings are being given is 15 now. We've been working on that for years. The average before that was about 19 or 18. Before they go on missions, they get ordained to the priesthood and patriarchal blessing within a few months of each other. We've been trying to get our youth to get their blessings earlier. And it was reported just recently that the average age now is 15, so we are delighted with that. 4, Elder Oaks, in a landmark talk given many years ago, April 1987, probably before many of you were born. April 1987, look this talk up, Elder Oaks. And I never forgot this blessing. It was given a long time ago, but as I was writing these comments, that talk came to mind, and I looked it up. Elder Oaks said, "It's a very sacred responsibility for a Melchizedek priesthood holder to speak for the Lord in giving a priesthood blessing. As the Lord has told us in modern revelation, my word shall all be fulfilled, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same." What a beautiful promise. If a servant of the Lord speaks as he is moved upon by the Holy Ghost, his words are the will of the Lord, the mind of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord, and the power of God unto salvation. Section 68. But if the words of a blessing only represent the priesthood holder's own desires and opinions uninspired by the Holy Ghost, then the blessing is conditioned on whether it represents the will of God. We hope we don't go there. I ask you, good elders, quorum presidents, bishops, to research out that talk, April 87, about priesthood blessings from Elder Oaks. and our prophet's comments in the last conference. Now, having fulfilled the command from a prophet of God to teach priesthood blessings, again, I ask you, good bishops and elders quorum presidents, to go share these with your flock and teach them how to give priesthood blessings and make sure that they offer more. Let's have a resurgence. Let's give more. Let's offer more. People can say no if you don't, but if you see someone in distress, have you asked for a priesthood blessing? Usually refer to the Father in most instances. Have you received a blessing from your Father? Or if you're ministering to a sister, a widow, or a widower, always offer that blessing. And I testify as you do so that you will become a great minister and that we will see a resurgence of priesthood, Melchizedek priesthood power in our stake. Now let me shift to another thing. I want to share with you a few thoughts about ministering, if I may. And what happened to me when I heard the prophet say this reorganization of Melchizedek priesthood power, as I thought about it, there's three things that this does, this reorganization. First off, it's a simplification of priesthood power. It simplifies. There's no longer a high priest group and an elder's quorum. It's one priesthood, one Melchizedek priesthood. And the Savior said, if you are not one, you are not mine. Number two, it's a unification of priesthood power. Unified. Together. One priesthood power. The youngest elder sitting side by side, the most senior high priest. Now that we're all elders, that doesn't matter much. But I love the unification of priesthood power. And the third thing I think it does is it offers magnification. It magnifies the priesthood power and brings greater emphasis. I think it's incredible. Would ask you good elders, quorum presidents, and bishops to do member spotlights. We want this quorum, your new elders quorums, to get to know each other. So why don't you have a member spotlight at the beginning of your elders quorum meeting to have an elder do it 1 week and then a high priest the next. Give them 3 minutes and ask them to tell their life story in 3 minutes. If that's possible for many of us former high priests, we need to make sure we stay within that 3 minutes. And not go longer. So please do member spotlights. Facilitate ways for the quorum to get to know each other better. So, with that being said, that's what I think is will happen in our stake. I think there will be a really powerful surge of priesthood power move across our stake, and I think in the entire church also. I have a testimony of this. When the prophet said these things, I thought to myself, man, that is incredible. It made perfect sense. I've often heard that wisdom, another way to think about wisdom is common sense. And I think that's what we had. This is common sense and wisdom to make this unification of Melchizedek priesthood power. So we'd like to ask our good brethren back here, Brother Jensen and Brother Omer, to come forward and grab some mics. Brethren, we'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you have to say. To share your thoughts and testimonies about where you were and what you heard when the prophet made this announcement. And any Q&A, I'm going to have my counselors on standby here to help answer some questions. We don't have all the answers, by the way, but we'll do our very best. So don't be bashful. Be bold. Stand and share your thoughts with us. And we'll never call anybody cold. You don't have to worry about anybody getting called cold about having to say something, but please share your thoughts with us. Yes, this brother back here in the middle. And then Todd Morgan second, this brother here first.
This is more of a comment, I guess.
Yeah, give us your name and ward, please.
Yeah, Bryson Lord. I'm the scoutmaster in the second
nice.
Ward.
Nice.
We just got back about 3 hours ago from the Little Sahara, so I'm still digging sand out of my ears and everything.
There you have it. thank you for your service.
This is more of a comment, I guess, related to priesthood power. I was in graduate school about over a decade ago, and a brother in my elders' quorum at the time said, I just learned that one of the traditions in the Jewish faith was every Sabbath, the father would go around the table and bless his family.
Wow.
And he said, why can't I do that?
Yes.
And so he said, I bless my family every Sunday. This was a young man, he was probably 24, 25 years old. He has young children. And I thought, brother, I need to do that in my family.
Beautiful.
And I did that for several weeks in a row. You can't burn out with the priesthood. And so it's my testimony, I guess, to say, why don't we follow our Jewish brethren and bless our families perhaps every single week?
I love that. What a great comment. Brother Morgan.
From the Fourth Ward, a kind of a heartburn thing. I'm the first counselor.
In the new Elders Quorum president of the Fourth Ward, yes.
They couldn't find anybody else, obviously.
Okay. That's not true, but we'll go with it.
I'm wondering, how could we, in a quorum meeting, get everybody in that meeting out of the primary, the young women or young men's, the nursery, to where we could, because we kind of feel it's pretty important to the way we present this is going to be pretty significant. And we don't see a lot of the brethren that are in the primary and relief, or, you know, the whole thing. So how do we get around that?
That's a great question. So you're wanting to gather them all together for one of the meetings or for all of them?
For one of the meetings.
One of them. That's a great question.
Maybe what you do is you have a special meeting and work it out with the bishop, work it out with the rest of the ward council, and have coverage. If you have several of your elders teaching primary, or if they're in the young men, and you need them in the elders' quorum so that this can be rolled out and everybody's on the same page, talk to the bishop, work it out with the rest of the ward council, and get some substitutes in those classes so that those elders can be in there with you. But I think if you plan that ahead a couple weeks, or you know, and give enough notice to everybody, I'm sure everybody would be willing to pitch in. And, you know, the Relief Society could probably use the same type of opportunity.
Well, that's what we were thinking after talking to Vera, that we could swap.
Rotate it.
Yeah. I mean, would that be cool to do something
Absolutely.
Like that?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Thank you. Okay, brethren, anyone else? Yes, right here, Brother Udall.
I wonder if I had the guts to stand up and say this or ask about it. You know, there's a lot of fun. You've seen the slides about the old high priest playing basketball. Well, that's not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen.
But I think we have a great opportunity. Many of you may have played pickleball, but it's a great mixer. It's a great way to get old and young people playing.
Yeah.
And having it's a great social sport. I'm going to put a request so we can get some imprints on some of this. In the stake or in some of the wards. A lot of stakes are doing this.
Yeah.
It's not a new idea. I think it'd be a great way to mix all ages, families.
Are we okay with that?
Anyway, that's my suggestion.
Well, we're all in on that, so make it happen. Whatever you need to do, bishops, I think that's a great idea. Make sure we get the, you can reserve the, you know, the gym for all that. So I think that'd be a great idea. We've got big rooms in each chapel for that. Great idea. Thank you. Brethren, any thoughts about what we've discussed? Priesthood blessings in your life that have been, yes, Brother Heber.
Heber Benyon, Second Ward.
Get that mic real close to you, please.
My wife and I just finished up our inner city mission, and we're back to our home ward. Some of the experiences we had there, it was really interesting because as this change came out, you know, that ward out there is still working on, you know, what changes they're going to make. They're setting up their Elders Quorum presidency and so on. They hadn't done that by the time we left. But for 3.5 years, we received a great example of ministering. Whenever anything happened in that ward, anyone had trouble, they were just all over it. They used the ward council used this application for your phone called WhatsApp, and we were on the list, so we would see all the traffic, you know. And anytime anything happened, there was just a flurry of traffic going back and forth.
You know, people saying, oh, we visited so-and-so in the hospital, and now she's in this room, and someone else saying, okay, we're going tomorrow, and the elders' quorum saying, okay, we're going over on Saturday to build a ramp for the wheelchair, and it was a great example.
Beautiful.
Sorry, I'm so emotional, but it was really a great example, and I also felt that it was really great for me to be able to go on visits with my wife, because she was so so much more in tune with certain things that women notice more than men.
Well, what's the name of that app again?
What's that?
What's the name of the app you mentioned?
It's called WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. So we encourage you to use social media to stay connected and to minister appropriate social media, of course.
They also had some magical underground communication we never quite understood.
Yeah.
But somehow they all got involved.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heber. We appreciate that. Other thoughts? Yes, brother. Overfleet, right?
Overfleet, yes. Yeah. Closing prayer. Second word.
Yeah.
So I'm from the Netherlands, small branch, had several church callings, including a couple of years in the branch presidency. So I'm one of the fortunate young men that gave many blessings.
Wonderful.
However, after, you know, watching President Nelson giving that talk, my wife is expecting our first due date was last Thursday. I went to the bishop and I said, this is the talk. I want to make sure that I'm not missing an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some good information, good insights. And, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
I know my place, you know.
Yeah.
We have a bishop. And although you probably give many blessings in your life, go to your bishop. He knows exactly what to tell you.
And get some guidance and counsel on how to give blessings.
Yep.
Is that what you're asking? Perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
Beautiful. So, newborns. So your wife is expecting, you said?
That is correct.
So my advice, when you have a newborn, is the first moment you have, when that baby enters mortality, is that you give that baby a blessing to bless and protect that little soul. Is this sitting in your arms and he's an hour or two old? Thank you. I would advise all of us to do this, grandkids, to give that little brand new soul a blessing as quickly as possible.
I will.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for that thought.
Thank you.
Okay, we got time. Yes, brother, back there.
Kovalenko from the 4th Ward.
Virgil, thank you.
In the 62 years since this came about in my life, I was known at that time 62 years ago, right out of the Navy, out of the Korean War, as a rebel in my mission, because I did not want to memorize a darned lesson about anything. And I kept saying, teach by the Spirit. I'm tickled that we have this now as ministering. However, I appreciate what you just said, President, that we should bless. And brethren, if you haven't been paying attention to the way you speak, half the time we speak in the conditional voice. Many of us have a tendency of putting the onus on the Lord. Let him do the blessing, not us. That's been one of my pet peeves. If we bear the priesthood of God and we speak for him, then bless in the positive present tense, not in the conditional. What do I mean by conditional? Get rid of the word might. We bless you that you might have this and that and the other.
I agree with that. Got time for a few more, brother. Over here, we have some back here on the right side. Back in the, get your hands up, brother, so we can see you again. One and two back there. Yeah, it'll come right to you next.
Brethren, I'm John Morris from the Olympus 8th Ward. Another great resource for us in giving healing blessings is found in President Oak's talk in the April 2010 General Conference Priesthood Session. There's a talk that he gave called Healing the Sick. And to me, it was a landmark talk about giving healing blessings as holders of the Melchizedek priesthood.
Beautiful.
And so rather than to go into it now, I just suggest that you look that up. It has some profound insights into the interaction between the authority of the priesthood holder, the faith of the recipient, the will of the Lord, the essential elements in a priesthood blessing. President Oakes covers all of those in that talk, and it's a great resource for us.
Beautiful. The brother right behind with the beard there. Hey, Russ.
I'm Austin Thompson from the Third Ward.
Hi, Austin.
And when the announcement was made for the consolidation of the quorum in the ward and new ministering program, excited by the idea of an opportunity for increased collaboration between the Relief Society and the Elders Quorum in ministering and serving. And I wanted to ask the question, would it be appropriate for there to perhaps be an assignment given to a husband and wife to minister together to a family?
That's a great question. We don't really have... Yeah, let me ask my good counselor to answer that too.
Yeah, so the Relief Society and the Elders Quorum will both work together, the Relief Society president and the Elders Quorum president working together, and they'll use the Spirit to take the individuals that they serve with, the sisters and the young women for the Relief Society, the elders and the young men for the Elders Quorum president, but they will seek the Spirit and identify where there are opportunities or needs to have couples serve together. Ultimately, they will make recommendations to the bishop, and then the bishop will approve the ministering groups. And so mixing and matching in any way which is in the best interest and needs of the family is the key. It's not about giving anybody a certain number of assignments. It's about identifying the needs of the families. And the only way for that to happen is for the Spirit of the Lord to be in the making of the assignment.
Beautiful. So if the Spirit directs, the answer to that is yes. Yeah, we don't have any objection to this. Again, brethren, we have to depend on the Lord for this. It's like preach my gospel. Know the material and go teach it. Yes, our dear architect back here. This good brother right here is the architect of our chapel. It's an honor to have you here. Oh, Forrest, we'll get to you next, okay, Brother Booth?
I've... been visiting or assigned families that I've visited now since Noah. And
no.
So the question came up this month. Well, what are we going to do now? Are we going to have home teachers? Are we going to have somebody come here regularly? So I guess our leadership will determine if we were assigned to somebody or just how we're going to do that.
Yep. We're being asked to minister in whatever way the Lord directs. A visit, if that's appropriate for the family, and what you're directed to do is fine. Or it can be, the video we saw showed having game night with someone or texting someone or stopping by, having them for dinner. It's a whole different higher order than just a visit. I heard one of the prophets say that a visit is appropriate if that's what's needed. Does that help?
I guess.
Yeah, Brother Booth.
Forrest Booth from the 8th Ward. We've heard a lot about being priesthood holders. It was a perfect example. I sat here, held this microphone, didn't do a bit of good until I use it.
Right.
I think we ought to call ourselves priesthood users, not priesthood holders.
Mm-hmm.
The same with a temple recommend. Sits in the drawer month after month after month. If you never use it, what good does it do you? You can be a holder.
Right.
But you need to be a user. Thank you.
You bet. Time for one more. Yes. Up here in the front row.
Carl Walderschmidt from the 7th Ward. We went to our home teaching families the other day, and we asked them what would they would like. And one said, we're fine, our family will be fine. And the other two says, we would like you to at least come once in a while and visit with us. I thought that was the appropriate way to handle it. Thank you.
Thank you. Sitting here, the Spirit has put into my heart a promise and a blessing for you all here. I leave my blessing upon you with the keys that I've been given for being here today, for showing up. Beautiful day outside. It's hard to get away from whatever activities you were doing, but I promise you that the Lord will bless you for being here today. I can't tell you exactly how, but I think you can look for it in the next few weeks or few months, that there will come a blessing into your life for being here today, making the effort to come. I leave that blessing upon you. Express my love and gratitude to you. What an honor it is to be a member of the Olympus Stake and to be a fellow servant with all of you. I do testify to you that Jesus is the Christ. He is our mentor, our leader, and our Savior, and I love him dearly. I testify that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. It has been a great blessing to me over my life. And I will be forever grateful to Mormon and to Alma and to Nephi. I feel like I know them. I feel like the day will come when I'll be able to look them up and embrace each one of those great Book of Mormon prophets and thank them for leaving their words to bless and inspire me and my family and my wife, children. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, come back at 7 o'clock. We have the adult session. It's in about 35 minutes. Please come back. We have a great evening planned. We'd love to have you all back. Thank you. Hymn number 246, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Anything else? Did I miss anything?
Okay.
Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this evening. We're grateful to be bearers of the priesthood, to be users of the priesthood. We're grateful for stake presidency and instructing us and leading us this meeting. We're grateful for the new ministering assignments, and we look forward to finding out more in detail what our specific callings will be. And please help us, Father, that we can be motivated to bless our families. And not only those that we home taught before, but also in our direct families. We're grateful for the sweet spirit that we felt here tonight. And we ask you that we can have a wonderful evening. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.